Okay, so I'm just saying a few words. I may use this tape to take somebody's history. I belong to an oral heritage committee in Morehead State University, and we're getting tapes of different people who passed around Morehead from 1930 to 1975 mainly. So I may use this tape. Yeah, I think it's a good one, and I can use it. I'm going to use this tape to interview Harold Thornby. He's the son of Dr. Thornby, who practiced in Morehead in the early 30s. He was in Barnesville 2 or 3 years or more. I'll get them in time from Harold. And he was in Morehead for several years. I met him once with my uncle, Dr. Fred Thyssen, introduced me to Dr. Thornby in 1932, and I was with Dr. Thyssen, my uncle, for a couple of years between my junior and senior year. And then I came back to practice in Hawley in 1934. Dr. Thornby had died. Dr. Heimerken, who was the doctor in Hawley first and then in Morehead too, also died by 1934 when I came back as a doctor in my hometown of Hawley, 22 miles east of Morehead. I want to make one slight correction. I was with my uncle a couple of months in the summer of 1932, not a couple of years. I was with him 2 months to learn a little bit about medicine between my junior and senior years of medical school. Most of these tapes, we were told would be better if we had them in MSU library or laboratory because it's quiet there, but it's easy to get this one down at the lake because Harold and his sister Grace Edenstrom have a Thornby cottage just 2 doors from my brother Willard, so I'm taking this tape down at the Thornby cottage history from Harold about his father, Dr. Thornby. I'm starting to record. This is a record. Dr. Dwayne Thysel is the interviewer, and we're interviewing Harold Thornby, son of Dr. Thornby, who practiced in Morehead several years. I'm going to start asking him some questions. Where was your father born, Harold?
My father was born in Dawson, Minnesota, which is a smaller town in southern Minnesota.
Did he go to school there, graduate from high school there?
Graduated from high school at Dawson and went to college at a normal school at Madison.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of interesting. My grandfather had been a very successful farmer and thought his boy should continue in his footsteps.
Yeah.
And he wanted to give each son a quarter of land as they came along, but my father didn't want the quarter of land. And then my grandfather said, well, I'm not going to give you any money to go to school. So my grandfather went to school on egg money.
Oh, yeah.
That grandma managed to, and what she managed to save out of the grocery buying. So that's what he went to school on.
Your dad?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see how. Well, I'm sorry to have to do this, but I didn't thought I had them both down. We'll have to go over some of this again. I'll try to think of what we had to say. Well, I'm going to ask you some of this again because I probably didn't have the play on. I thought I did. Anyway, I guess we got to the point where Dr. Thornby had 2 children, one being interviewed now, Harold and his sister Grace. And you
went to both Concordia, both of you?
We both graduated from Concordia. She was 1 year ahead of me.
Oh, yes.
And I went on to graduate school at the University of Washington in zoology.
Uh-huh.
I did a little work at Itasca Park at the Biological Station of the University of Minnesota, intending to go into the Biological Survey. At that time, I would get nice letters, and they said that my education was adequate, but there weren't any openings, and as soon as there would be one, why, I'd be notified. But my father died in 34, and it was about time for me to go to work, so I got a job and did something else for a while. Then the service came along, and I spent 4 years in the United States Navy, and after the service, I finished mortuary science school and bought a funeral.
Now you married a girl whose father was a mortician, didn't you?
There were 3 daughters in the family, and They married three fellows, and two of them had to become morticians before they got married. But I don't know, he thought my word was good, so I guess I was allowed to marry the daughter, but without before I became a mortician.
Yeah. And since that, you got out of that business and moved to Colorado.
Yes.
You said you were doing something there.
You said something previously about my being retired, and I said that I really hadn't retired. What I had is just changed occupation.
Yeah.
Yes, I've become now a yard man. Not first class, of course, but I'm learning. And I do other things on side jobs. I delegated to be the personal representative for my aunt, and she has a house in Moorhead that needed redecorated and recarpeted and the linoleum floors taken care of in the kitchen. I could see that the people that I had hired to lay it weren't going to get it done in the before they were going to leave, and so I pitched in and worked laying carpet, which I hadn't done for a while.
Harold has his father's had a cottage on Lake Pelican ever since the early 20s, I guess, and he was telling something about his father being so busy that he'd start out for the cottage and never getting there, he'd have to turn around. Do you want to repeat a little of that?
That was one of the hazards of being a doctor's kid. We had to keep our fingers crossed that the phone wouldn't ring until we at least left town, because if it did, why, my dad would come back walking out of the house and shaking his head, and all that meant was that we would unload the car and that'd be the end of the trip to the lake.
I was a doctor in Hawley, remember some things like this too. I'd go down the lake and be there 15 minutes and have to go home again. And once on my anniversary, a wedding anniversary, we had supper in Detroit Lakes, and we were going to stay overnight at the Edgewater Hotel, and we couldn't do it. I had to go back for an obstetrical case. So that sounds like Dr. Thornby's experiences quite a bit.
I can remember that the cars in the wintertime were always kept in, I think they call it hot storage. And all this meant was that you would be able to call up and have they would deliver your car to your door, and then you would take the attendant back to the garage and go out, the doctor would go out and make his call and then come back and pick up the attendant, and the attendant would drive him to his house and drive the car back and put it in warm storage. One of the, you know, you're a boy, you try to evaluate things. I can remember that my dad would never drove very fancy cars. He drove a lot of Fords. But in this garage, there were all these Stutz Bearcats lined up. And they were all the bootleggers' cars from Moorhead.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me that the bootleggers were doing a little better than the doctors.
Yeah, that's right. Your dad was in Barnesville first a while. It sounded like it must have been about 1915 or so. Harold was born in 1916.
Yes, I believe he was there about 3 years, probably from 1914 through 17.
Yeah, and then there's two in the family, Harold, and he's got a sister, a little older than you?
Yes, 1 year.
1 year older. Then they moved to Moorhead about 1917 and lived in Moorhead until Dr. Thornby died about 1934. You say he died of heart trouble?
Heart attack. He had a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was a very active practitioner, I know, because my uncle knew him, and I guess the doctors in that town about that, more in about that time, were Dr. Humphrey, Dr. Thysel. They were together for a while, and then they separated, and then it was Dr. Duncan with Dr. Thysel, and Dr. Humphrey had Dr. Ingebrigtsen, and there was Dr. Thornby. Dr. Highmark was with Dr. Humphrey and Thysel. There was also Dr. Bottleson. Let's see, where should we go from here?
Dad thought he was going into partnership with Dr. Vern at the time that he left Barnesville. He signed the papers to go into practice with Dr. Vern and thought Dr. Vern was going out to California to check on a place to live. But Dr. Vern never came back from California, which meant that half of his income went to Dr. Vern when he practiced in Moorhead, which made it kind of skimpy going for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Our family, the Burns, were never very close.
No. Our I guess we weren't supposed to have that on record, but it probably got on, but it only hurt.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, I know. I probably wouldn't have needed to interject that, but I did.
Fine.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what we had there that we missed.
Well, you want to know what he did?
Yeah,
what he enjoyed.
What he enjoyed, yeah.
A few fellows in singing, probably as much as anything else in life. He sang with a Catholic priest and Professor Dahl from Concordia College. And in those days of prohibition, if they could get up a little something for a drink or two, they'd sing for quite a while.
Yeah.
And they really enjoyed it.
Your dad had a lake cottage and enjoyed that. I guess he used to go fishing too. You were telling me something about fishing.
Well, I remember one fishing trip that I was a lad and I was invited along, and my dad had the peculiar luck that whenever he decided to go on a fishing trip, why, the waves were always high and the weather wind was blowing, and we fished over at Fish Lake, and on the way home, why, there were just too many of us in the boat for safety, so three of us got off on the east side of the lake and found our way to the road, and the others were able to get back over to the west side of Pelican Lake. Yeah. But Dad talked more about fishing than he ever did.
Yeah. We're having this interview at Pelican Lake, and that's where Dr. Thornby had his cottage since early 1920s. My uncle, Dr. Fred, was also on the Pelican Lake, and just a few cottages farther on the road from where Dr. Thornby cottage is. I remember he bought that cottage about 1924, my uncle.
I think we talked a little bit about investments.
Yeah.
My dad, I think I said, was perhaps not the worst investor in the world, but he was right up in the running.
Yeah.
And he had bought some farmland, which was not a particularly good investment. He bought gold stocks, and we almost papered the bathroom with those. And he bought some land down in Florida that was underwater when the tide came in. It seemed that even if it was a good investment at the time it was bought, if you don't keep track of it, why, it often turns out to be not a good investment.
I suppose doctors weren't the best investors. I can remember experiences of my Uncle Fred, Dr. Fred Thysel, the same thing. He'd lose money on investments.
I believe my dad had plenty of company. I read the Harvard Review on the research that was done on the investments of doctors, and there was only one conclusion to be drawn, and that is somebody else should do the investing for him.
Yeah. I guess we'll ask you a few questions about your family now. You told us what you did after you left college and until now. You have, how many children do you have?
I have two daughters. They're both married, live in Denver, five grandchildren, all smart.
Yeah. And how old are your grandchildren about?
One daughter has twins that are 8 and a boy that's 7, and the other daughter has a daughter that's 7 and a boy that's 6.
Yeah, then there's sister Grace, who's was married and has some children too. Tell me about that.
Yeah, she has 3 children, 2 of which are married, and they have, one has 3 children, one has 2.
Oh, yes. Well, you come back here every summer, don't you, to their cottage that was originally your dad's, and you come back and your sister Grace comes back. You come from Denver, where you live now, and she comes from, where is it, Arizona or California?
Arizona,
yeah.
Well, I've been a number of places in the world, and I have yet to see one that I like better than Pelican Lake.
That's right. It's pretty good in the, Minnesota's pretty good in the summertime. Your dad a Republican or a Democrat, or how did you feel about politics?
My mother was a staunch Republican, and my dad was a Norman Thomas socialist.
Oh.
They could just as well have stayed home.
Yeah.
They didn't need to go out of the go vote because it didn't do any good. That went on for years.
Looked like they canceled each other's vote. You said something about a younger brother of his did go into medicine.
Been in dentistry.
Or dentistry.
Yeah.
The grandfather was a little, wanted his first son to become a farmer, the one that became a farmer, Dr. Harold Thornby's father. So the grandmother had to help him through by egg money, it sounds like, quite a bit. But the next son that went through school...
Well, by that time, when Dad had graduated from medical school and was out practicing medicine and making some money, and Grandpa thought this was all right. So then when the next son came along to go, he went first class.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Families, you know, like them. Yeah.
I kind of goofed in some of this and had to replay it, so I'm going to have to repeat a little bit of what we left out about the first part of Dr. Thornby's life. Where did he graduate from high school?
He graduated in Dawson, Minnesota, and did the first 2 years at Madison Normal, which was a small school that functioned for a few years in Madison, Minnesota. Uh-huh. Then he went on to Hamline University and played a little football there and finished there and went on to University of Minnesota Medical School. Then he also studied later on in Vienna and Berlin. He took courses in surgery at both.
That's something we didn't have in this report, the report that I goofed on, so we got it now. Anyway, then he, where did he first practice? Did you say he was in Lake Park a little while?
I think he was in Lake Park a very short time. I think he relieved somebody there for a little while, and then went to Barnesville about 3 years, and then moved to Moorhead.
Probably 1916 or 19, something like that.
Oh, yes.
And you were born in Barnesville in 1916?
Yes, there's no statue there at all.
Oh, oh, Grace, was she born down there too, your sister?
No, she was born in Moorhead.
Oh. Well, she's a little...
Well, see, my grandmother, my grandparents on my mother's side lived in Moorhead.
Oh, I see. But she's older than you.
Older.
Yeah, that's right. And then Dr. Thornby came to Moorhead and was there from, I suppose, 1919 till about 34 when he died. And he was a busy family practitioner.
Yes, and did quite a bit of surgery.
Yeah.
At St. Luke's, St. John's, and St. Ansgar.
Yeah.
I don't think I mentioned that I drove for him a good bit, and we had kind of a system that we'd go out and make a call, and if he would crawl in the back seat and fall asleep, and if the porch light was on, I'd go in and find out where the next call was.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't wake him. I'd drive him to the next call and wake him when we got there. And I had quite a few experiences as a young high school boy. I helped give the baby the first bath, and many quite a few times assisted him on emergencies.
I can remember that time. I was just a boy then, in World War I, and my uncle Fred was in Holly then, but he used to go around in the sleigh quite a bit on busy flu time. I believe you told me before that he was a partner of Dr. Verne's, and maybe we've got that. Anyway, yes. Dr. Verne left town to go to California.
Stayed there,
so he didn't come back. And Dr. Thornby, in the meantime, was working for both of them and getting paid for maybe only what he did, but he did also, Dr. Verne never came back. Dr. Verne is one doctor I've heard about, but I didn't ever meet. I met almost everybody else that had been in Moorhead because I lived in Holly and then Moorhead, so it's close by. This is the end of the interview I got with Fred Thornby, Harold Thornby, son of Dr. Thornby, who practiced in Moorhead from 1917 to 1934. I thought it was a very interesting report. It was kind of fun getting it from Harold. He was a good talker, I think, and brought in some experiences that he had as being a doctor's son. This tape will go over the Moorhead State University Oral Heritage Society for record.